When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Oh, yeah, baby. Just after 3 o'clock in the nation's capital. If that song doesn't get you fired up and ready for Christmas, I don't know what freaking will, man. I mean, if you don't celebrate Christmas, I guess that song won't get you fired up. Sorry. I can't please everybody. But if that doesn't get you in the mood, I don't know what will. Maybe talking to Jay Gruden will. The ex-head coach here in Washington, or the former head coach, I should say, the ex-head coach. Former head coach here in Washington, longtime offensive coordinator and all-around good guy, Jay Gruden, on air and on the road, is brought to you and driven by the Ted Britt Automotive Group, Ted Britt Ford in Chantilly and Fairfax, F-150 headquarters, Ted Britt Chantilly Lincoln, and Ted Britt Chevrolet in Sterling, home of Ted Britt for life. Lifetime vehicle covered. See and shop them all at TedBritt.com. And without further ado, we say Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays. Jay, to you and your family, how are you, pal?
Merry Christmas down here in Tampa. Got to see the grandkids and the new granddaughter, so it's been a good day, good week.
Oh, man, that's awesome. That's awesome. Did you just get there today, or were you there all weekend, or?
A couple days ago, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
All right, all right.
Good.
Attaboy, attaboy. Well, congratulations again, and best wishes to everybody in the Gruden family, and I know it's ever-expanding, so certainly good to see. By the way, I've seen a lot of your brother of late on the Barstool Sports thing. I mean, I know I asked you about it a couple of weeks ago, but, I mean, you got a stupid Eagles fan calling in, screaming and cursing and yelling, and John was having a good old time.
Yeah,
he loved
that.
Yeah, exactly.
He played that for me today. Yeah, I got to see him today. Yeah, he's all proud of that one.
All right, let's start there. I mean, obviously the Commanders get a break and Jalen Hurts gets hurt. I don't know how many more points they would have scored besides the 33 that they did score when Jalen Hurts, and all of them were without Jalen Hurts, although he had a couple of big runs, including the one he got hurt on, to set up the first A.J. Brown touchdown on the slant from Pickett. Clearly, that's a big loss, but do you think that's the reason why the Commanders were able to find a way to win this? Or are you like, well, that happens, and sure, it hurt them, but it's not the reason?
Well, it's a I agree with both the things you said. Sure, it happens. I mean, it might have been the reason, but we'll never know. It happened. I mean, that's what happens in pro football. People do get hurt, and backups have to play. Kenny Pickett's been a starting quarterback in the National Football League. It's not like he's some rookie who's never played a down coming off the bench. This guy's a good backup quarterback, and that's why he's there. So you got to play the hand that's dealt, and Washington did an unbelievable job of sticking to their guns, doing what they had to do to get the win and overcoming some horrific turnovers to get the victory. So, yeah, hats off to Washington, Jade, and the rest of the crew for just sticking with the plan and sticking together, sticking with each other, and believing that they can come back.
No doubt. At @coach_JGruden is how you follow Jay on X, if you're not already doing so, and I'm sure many of you are. But at @coach_JGruden, just for the record. So I agree with you. I mean, listen, again, it's not like Pickett's a former first-round pick a couple of years ago. I know it didn't work out in Pittsburgh. You know, I it was weird, though, Jay, because after that big run by Saquon Barkley near the end of the first quarter, the 68-yarder, it almost seemed like the Commanders were a completely different defense in terms of bottling him up. Is that because they don't trust that Pickett is going to beat them, or is that just something that happened and they played run fits a little bit better? Because early on, they were really struggling stopping the run on the right side of the Commanders' defense, the left side of the Eagles' offensive line.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think they had a meeting down there. Bobby Wagner probably took control. Coach Quinn, the defensive coaches, and enough's enough, and they just played better. They played gap control a lot better. They got off blocks a lot better. They tackled better. And you're right, after that 68-yard run, I think he only averaged about 2.5 yards a carry, which is, you know, which is unbelievable. That's a great tribute. I don't care who's playing quarterback. You know, obviously, they didn't have to worry about the zone reads as much, but still, to limit Saquon Barkley to that type of output after a 68-yard run, whatever it was, is great tribute to that defense and them sticking together.
The Luvu interception, I don't know how many times you've gotten to, you know, kind of watch it, break it down in your mind. Jay, to me, obviously a huge spot. They turned that, they were down 14-0, doing nothing. They get the quick touchdown after, so it gets them back in the game. But to me, the interception and how he read it, if I saw it right live, and I think on one replay, like the guy, he was in coverage on the left side of the Commander's defense, and he's lined up on the edge. He kind of peels off, and Luvu then reads Pickett's eyes and jumps the slant or the shallow cross behind him, and again processes all of that. To me, for a guy who is not, I don't want to say he's not good, but not, it's not his natural thing. I mean, it's just not in pass coverage. I thought that was an incredible diagnosis and obviously a key interception and play and moment.
Yeah, for sure. Great route recognition. He had a guy to the flat. He looked like he was going to buzz the flat. That's why Kenny went right to the spot route right behind him. Luvu stuck his foot in the ground and went right to that spot route, right where it was going to be, and anticipated it, and was a great play. It would have fooled me if I was a quarterback, for sure, because I, you know, when you see somebody buzz to the flat, you go right to that little spot route right behind him and drill it.
Right.
Because usually that's where the open spot is, but Luvu gave him the old double take and faked him out, went right to it, got a pick. That's a hell of a play. He's been unbelievable the last, you know, month and a half. He can rush the passer. He can play coverage. He can run to the football. He's been a great addition to this defense.
No doubt. Jay Gruden with us, brought to you by the Ted Britt Automotive Group. All right, let's get to Jaden Daniels. I mean, five touchdown passes is five touchdown passes, but just to dial down and get specific, Jay, my favorite drive of the year, my favorite offensive possession, whatever you want to call it, I'm sure this had to speak your love language. You're backed up at the four. You're down 21-7. You've lost a little momentum from that Luvu interception and then the quick touchdown because of the Barkley touchdown. You know, you kind of just like figuring, all right, maybe move the ball, get Tress a little bit more possession. And Cliff Kingsbury comes out and dials up a 50-yard bomb down the right sideline to De'Ami Brown. And then a couple of plays later on a 3rd and 8, Jaden with one of the best throws, Terry with one of the best catches for a 32-yard touchdown. I mean, again, obviously a huge score, but where they were on the field to be that aggressive was awesome in my opinion.
I think you're 100% right. You know, it's a way to capture the momentum back. A great throw to De'Ami and then the throw to Terry. He had a free hitter coming off the edge. He just stuck his foot in the ground and dropped a dime, and that was a great adjustment by Terry. And hats off to Coach Kingsbury. But, you know, obviously the players for executing the plan and getting right back in the game and seizing that momentum. And, you know, this game is about momentum and capturing momentum and then what you do once you have it to maintain it. And obviously Washington did a great job of capturing it. They lost it back a little bit, but then they went back and regained it and got the victory. So lots of ebbs and flows in that game. That's what pro football is all about, especially when you play good teams. Just a matter of sticking with each other and playing till the bitter end, and that's what they did.
It seemed like one of the touchdowns to Crowder, the first one, and one of the, I think, the 4-yard touchdown pass to OZ, that the Eagles almost seemed confused, lost a little bit, and maybe like not expecting what Cliff and Jaden threw at them, maybe the route tree. What did you see out of those ones? Because it's unusual that you get that much space, A, in the NFL, and B, against a Vic Fangio defense, especially with that secondary the way it's been playing.
Well, they had a lot of coverage breakdowns. I don't know what they were doing. I don't know if they had new players back there or what, but Vic Fangio is a very specific coverage type coach to different formations. 2x2, he plays certain things. And 3x1, he plays certain things. For those guys that have those breakdowns, You know, really, I don't understand it. I think they must have had some new players in or something. But the one touchdown to OZ is wide open down the sideline. I had 12 guys on the field, and nobody covers them down the sideline. I don't know what the hell they're doing. So, yeah, I mean, I think pace, tempo has a lot to do with it. And then, obviously, changing formations and doing different things, which Cliff did, also confused them a little bit. So, you know, it was a great plan by Cliff, great execution by the offense. And I think defensively, Vic Fangio will go back to the drawing board, and he'll get on his defense today, that's for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. It was weird to see, especially when you consider, you know, the first matchup, they couldn't get Terry on track against Quinyon Mitchell and DeJean's plan. I don't know. Do you think that could have something to do with C.J. Gardner-Johnson being ejected from the game, Jay, early, mid-ish third quarter for the two personal foul unsportsmanlikes? I mean, when you lose a leader back there, even though he might not be great in coverage, maybe that affected something?
Well, he's in charge of a lot of the communication. And losing that guy hurts a lot because he can play inside, obviously, safety, nickel, all that stuff. He's all over the place. And losing that guy with that type of experience and versatility will hurt a lot because his backup, I'm sure, is probably one-dimensional. CJ's not one-dimensional. He's multidimensional. So I'm sure that hurt a little bit, but there's still no excuse. This is week 17 to have coverage breakdowns like they had. Is unheard of, especially for a coach team like Philadelphia.
Yeah, I agree. Jay Gruden with us, again, brought to you by the Ted Britt Automotive Group as we relive a 36-33 thrilling Commanders win yesterday. On that final drive, one thing that stood out to me, and I wonder if it did to you, Brian Robinson's in the Chateau Bow Wow, Jay. He fumbled twice, got stopped on the 4th-and-1 early on at midfield. So, you know, kind of three negative plays, if you will, even though maybe the fourth down stop is not on him. He's kind of like a loss. They can't naturally run the football. And yet Cliff and the offense, they go to him twice, and he gets 5-yard gains, including the 3rd-and-1, which sets up the – and that was out of the final timeout. What does that say when you – and would you have gone back to him in that spot, right? Like, at some point, you got to go with a guy who's helped you get here, or would you have maybe abandoned him and not trusted him in that spot?
I think he's done so much good for this team this year. I think you got to go back to him because you're going to need him again next week against Atlanta. You're going to need him against Dallas. You're going to need him in the playoffs if it comes to that. So, yeah, I think it's a great tribute to Coach Quinn and keeping faith in his guys. Because, like I said before, he's been a huge force for this team in between the tackles, outside the tackles, and moving forward. They're going to need him to be the bell cow moving forward.
Jay Gruden with us, Ted Britt Automotive Group along the way, right before Christmas, as we talk about a 36-33 win for the Commanders. Jaden, on that final touchdown drive, you know, he throws a dart, obviously, to Crowder, who you drafted and is now on his second turnaround here in Washington. What, I guess the best way I could ask this, what makes Jameson so hard to, I guess, cover? Because he's not the biggest guy we know. He's lost maybe a step, a lot of injuries, but yet, I don't know. He had the two touchdowns, and the second one is not exactly an easy throw. That was not a blown coverage, at least in my opinion. What did you see there?
The last touchdown?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was just a great coverage beater. You know, they had a guy underneath the linebacker, and he peeled off and tried to take Crowder behind him, but Crowder beat him to the punch. He got them back in the end zone. The thing about Crowder is he's not a very big guy, but he plays long. He's got really long arms. He's got a good catch radius. He's got strong, strong-ass hands. I mean, he can pluck anything. You know, he's not going to run away from a lot of people, but he's got great quickness in and out of cuts. He's very dependable. He's where he's supposed to be all the time. And guys like that are important, you know. And there's going to be guys that are probably quicker and bigger and faster than him. But when you have a guy that's as dependable as him, is a great guy like him, and will emerge in clutch situations, you want him on the field. He's just one of those guys that you can depend on in clutch situations.
No doubt about it. Jay, when you look at Jaden on that 4th-and-11, what was it, from the 41, if I'm not mistaken? I mean, you don't design a 4th-and-11 run. I think that's pretty clear. Is that just an athlete being improvising just based on what he sees initially off the snap? Or do you think he reads something out pre-snap? How did you kind of break that down? And what did you think of the decision by DQ to not punt it and go for it on 4th-and-11?
I thought it was a great decision. And, you know, of course it worked. It was a great decision. If it even hadn't worked, you still would have had to get a stop anyway. So you just lost a little bit of field position. But, you know, this guy, Jaden, man, he's just so athletic, and he's got the – most natural instincts I've seen in a long time as far as when to tuck it and run it, when to buy time, when to get rid of it. He just is a natural at the position, and nothing affects him. He's just incredible. When you have a guy like that at the quarterback position, you can be a little bit more reckless, a little bit more gutsy with your fourth down decisions because you can trust the fact that he's going to make the play, and that's what he's done over and over this year.
No doubt. Jay Gruden with us again, Ted Britt Automotive Group. So ultimately now the Commanders have won 10 games with, you know, like you led them to a division crown with Kirk in 2015. But you guys won 9 games. You won 8 the next year. They haven't won 10 since 2012. And now they face the Atlanta Falcons. And we haven't talked to you since obviously Kirk has been benched. But we all know he had struggled. What did you make of that decision? And I guess how stunning was it? Or do you believe that Kirk just doesn't look himself still in that offense, whether it's his Achilles or whether it's Zach Robinson or whether it's something else that we're all missing? What do you make out of that whole situation?
I think it's a combination of things. You have a new offensive coordinator trying to find his way. It's the first time he's ever had to come up with game plans, how to attack defenses. Situational play, all that stuff, coming up with all the situational plays and then trying to cater to Kirk's strengths. And I don't think he did a very good job of doing that. Kirk's strength is under center with the play actions and the bootlegs, and they didn't do a whole lot of that. And part of that maybe because Kirk wasn't 100% recovered from his Achilles. He does not look the same. He's never been a very mobile quarterback, so to speak, but he's been effective with his mobility, if that makes sense. But he just did look a little bit more rigid in the pocket, didn't mm-hmm. look as flexible as he normally does. He still threw the ball accurately, but he forced the balls into coverage. A lot of the routes and a lot of the plays that they're running, receivers had options just come out of their cut and break it off to the outer, stick it down in the zone, and that's really not Kirk's forte. He likes to know where people are going, and so he can anticipate throws. He sees windows and lets it fly, but when he's not sure where the receivers are going to be, he holds on to it a little bit long and just waits, and then he gets sacked or throws it up into a crowd. So I think it's a combination of a lot of things. I think it was a pretty good move to give Penix a shot, especially since they've had him there and watched him throw all through camp and through the season. They probably said, let's just give him a chance. He's a little bit more mobile probably, and they can do a little bit more.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. I think, the jury's still out on this decision.
Right.
I'm still not convinced that Penix is the right guy, but I think Kirk probably had to sit for a little bit.
I mean, 18 of 27, 202, no touchdowns and an interception. They got, two pick sixes for 14 of their 34 points. Did you see anything from Penix that made you go, oh, okay, he's more advanced than I thought he would be, or was there nothing really there to see?
Yeah, not really. He threw the ball good. He had some good throws on some traditional drop back plays, and he did some good things, obviously, but he didn't really have to do a lot. Like you mentioned before, the defense got the touchdowns for him, and the Giants have totally, absolutely just gone to sleep. They packed in there. They got their tickets to Bahamas or somewhere. They're done. I mean, they don't even care. It's unbelievable. It's a farce watching them play.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how he plays against a team that's hungry and playing for a playoff spot.
It's weird because the Giants were somewhat competitive up until 2 weeks ago, and then Lamar and the Ravens, and obviously, again, the two pick sixes certainly didn't help the Falcons, just blowing them away. The Rams with a big win yesterday, Jay, in New York or at MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey. I mean, it wasn't pretty from an offensive perspective, but, the Rams are now 9-6 to go cross country. That's never easy. That Jet offense had been playing pretty well, and the Jet defense had been a little bit better, I guess. And the Rams come out, hold them, to single digits, and grind Kyren out in the cold and win a game.
Yeah, it was an impressive game. I thought, it wasn't pretty, like you mentioned, but it was a smash mouth game, which I think is important for Sean moving forward, going to the playoffs or trying to win that division, to be able to show teams, hey, we can pound it between the tackles now. You can't just play Stafford, Puka, and Cooper and Higbee now that they have Higbee and Stafford. You got to stop the run. And that's the number one focus going into the Rams. I think the plan was stop and run, but you're saying, wait a minute. If we stop the run, how are we going to cover Cooper and Puka and Kyren out of the backfield and Matthew Stafford? So I think they show great balance at L.A. They have a lot going for them. They have very good young defense. They keep them fresh when they run the ball like that, especially on the road. They keep Aaron Rodgers on the sideline, who was hot, came in with a hot hand, and limited his passing attempts because they possessed the ball. That was a great plan by Sean, I thought.
Yeah, I agree with you. 19-9, the Rams win, obviously. Monday Night Football tonight, Green Bay, who the Commanders are chasing. They're expected to win, double-digit favorites and all that stuff. We'll see. One last one, Jay, before we let you go. I was really disappointed by Tampa last night. I know they got back in it and made it a game. I'd honestly fallen asleep with a couple of late scores and the late turnover, but I mean, at one point they were down, I guess it was, what, 26-14? And I know Dallas has played better than their record. I got it. Credit to Mike McCarthy. But what happened to Tampa last night?
They didn't have much of a protection plan, and they turned the ball over. Baker had a couple bad decisions. They fumbled there at the end. They had a chance to go down and kick a field goal, win the game. And they didn't really have a good protection plan for Zimmer's double-A blitzes. Mm. Baker was running around for his life all day. And when you play Mike Zimmer team and you get down by a couple scores, you got to expect he's double A's in some of these blitzes. And Tampa wasn't ready for it. They didn't prepare good enough, in my opinion, and it showed on the field. So Tampa's now got to hope LA or Atlanta loses the game. They got to win out to win the division. So a lot of things still can happen with these last 2 weeks, but definitely a disappointing night for Tampa.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Jay, not disappointing to talk to you every Monday at 3 o'clock, my friend. I appreciate you. Happy holidays to you and the entire Gruden family. Again, thank you for all you do for us here and the radio show in Odyssey, D.C. Always a pleasure to get to catch up with you.
All right, thanks, Chris. Merry Christmas.
There you go. Merry Christmas to Jay Gruden and family. On air and on the road, Jay Gruden is driven by the Ted Britt Automotive Group, Ted Britt Ford in Chantilly and Fairfax F-150 headquarters, Ted Britt Chantilly Lincoln and Ted Britt Chevrolet in Sterling. Home of Ted Britt for life, lifetime vehicle coverage. See and shop them all at TedBritt.com. Coming up, a quick conversation after the game with the man who put the icing on the cake, the two-point conversion, Jeremy McNichols. Just a very quick couple of questions with him from yesterday in the locker room, and then we'll do cleanup on aisle three and dum-dum before we get out of here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. No, a little honky tonk missing the meeting the mistletoe. All right, let's do it, baby. Thanks to Jay Gruden.
Old Crow Medicine Show.
Huh?
Old Crow Medicine Show.
Yeah, I like OCMS. Saw them live at Eagle Bank Arena about 7 years ago, 8 years ago, with the Avett brothers. That was a hell of a night. It was a hell of a night. All right. There you go. Once again, thanks to Jay Gruden. If you missed any of that, I think a good spot breaking down all the big issues. You heard what he said about the 4th and 11, you know, from the Philadelphia 41. I mean, remember, just real quickly, before we get to Jeremy McNichols, you know, that game is 27-14. You're down by 13, so it's a lot easier to make that decision when you're down 13 than, you know, down 3. Let's just say. So I'm sure the score had to play a big part in it. But still, it's a pretty gutsy call and decision by Dan Quinn. And as Jay said, you know, he thought it was a great decision because when you have a guy like Jaden Daniels, you can be more reckless. And that's what he said. Reckless. You know, which is what I often think you get out of Dan Campbell and a lot of these new age thinking coaches that go for it on 4th and 1, minus territory, all that stuff. This was in plus territory, but man, 4th and 11 is not easy. All right, let's get to Jeremy McNichols here before we take the bottom of the hour trending alert. Again, caught up with him in the locker room. He had the 2-point conversion there at the end to make it 36-33.
It looked like they initially got to you, bottled you up, and you just kind of fought through it. Is that, like, do you remember? Like,
I just got the ball. I seen the end zone. I know I need to get in there for my team. I can't really take you through the full play, but got the ball, seen the end zone, and I knew I had to, you know, put it in there for my teammates and this organization and finish out the game.
When you guys took over that possession, Luke had the nice kickoff return, but I think it was like 158 or whatever, one timeout. Was there any doubt in your mind
Never.
That you guys were?
No. If there's time on the clock and we have the ball,
we going down to win, and we're going to put the ball in the end zone. We've done it before, so we believe in each other and this brotherhood, and we know we are capable of, and we got opportunity, and we seized the moment and got it done.
I was going to ask you an unfair question. Is that more the brotherhood, that belief, or is it more that you guys have done this in big spots here?
Oh, I think it's both. I mean, when you look to your left and your right, I want to play for my brother. You know, I'm going to give it all for him. And we just got a bunch of guys up and down this roster and in our locker room that just believe more than, you know, the outside. We don't listen to the outside noises. It's what's in this locker room, and we know what we got, and we don't want to, you know, not get in the end zone for our brothers. You know, that's what we need to do.
You guys turned the ball over 5 times and 1 on down, so 6, I guess, total. To win a game like this against that caliber of opponent, to snap a 10-game winning streak, to deny them a chance to win the division.
We're having a little bit of technical difficulty, unfortunately. It just broke down, and of course, Chris decided to take a big old bite of food.
Yep,
at that moment.
I did. We don't get to eat lunch around here, so you got to eat during breaks and all that time. Sorry about that. I don't know what happened there with the rest of the I mean, it was very quick. There wasn't much left in the McNichols. But the point that McNichols did make is they knew they were going to score. Now, it's easy to say that when you do. But I think down 5, when you take over down 5 with a 1:58 left to go and 1 timeout, again, it's 33-28. You take over. Oh, you want to resume? Okay,
we can try from right about where we just were.
Let's do that.
Deny them a chance to win the division. How do you even begin to process all that?
That's so what, now what? It's over. You can't get those plays back. So we got time on the clock, and we still have opportunity to win the game. And that's just how we, you know, now what? You know, that play is gone. We turned the ball over. Now what? Like, let's go make this drive better. We can't fix what's in the past. All we can do is, you know, focus on the present and continue to just keep fighting for each other. Just having fun, man. It's a party in here.
Well, right. We tried twice.
Again, we're having some technical difficulties. Not sure exactly what happened, but either way, thanks to Jeremy McNichols for his time yesterday in the locker room. Sorry we couldn't bring sometimes things happen. It's live radio, baby. We don't get to edit everything. We don't get to delete everything. We don't get to try over. You know, on TV, they get to try things over. We don't always get to try things over in this spot. So anyway, thanks to Jeremy McNichols. If you missed Luke McCaffrey, whatever we were able to bring you there, I think he referred to like stuff during the game as foreplay, but I'm not 100% sure. If I heard it right live and I was like, and then just now, I think he may have referred to events leading up to the win as foreplay, but maybe that's just my sick and twisted mind. I don't know. All right. Either way, let's do a quick and final trending alert right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app, and then we'll get to clean up on aisle 3. We'll try and squeeze in, if we can, a final phone call. Let's do it right here, right now. All right, Dan Quinn is meeting with the media as we speak after a stirring come from behind 36-33 win over the Philadelphia Eagles, which denied them a chance to win the NFC East and gave the Commanders a 10th win on the year, most wins since 2012. They'll host the Atlanta Falcons and Michael Penix. If you missed Jay Gruden on the Kirk Cousins situation, Penix and the Falcons coming in. He joined us just moments ago. Hit Odyssey on the rewind or just listen to the entire full podcast, which Maddie will have up for you on the Odyssey app at the Team 980 or at the Team980.com. Meanwhile, Monday Night Football tonight, Green Bay, a team that's ahead of Washington in the NFC standings, hosting New Orleans, and New Orleans is just dramatically beat up. Of course, no Alvin Kamara tonight. In addition, Chris Olave, Taysom Hill, Derek Carr, and more missing for New Orleans. Again, game at 8:15 from venerable Lambeau Field. Tank Dell, unfortunately, does have a torn ACL, a dislocated kneecap, and will need surgery and cleanup for some other things, as head coach of the Texans, D'Amico Ryans, confirmed on Monday. Surgery not exactly scheduled at this point. And from hockey, the Capitals with a big win last night. Great weekend for them with wins over Carolina and Los Angeles over the weekend at C1A. Tonight they try their luck in Beantown before the holiday break. 7 o'clock, the puck drop against the 18-13-4 Bruins. The Capitals, number one in the Metro, number one in the East, entering this final game of play before the Christmas break. And that's what's trending. All right, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, everybody. Again, this is our final show until Friday, off Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. I think Doc will be in tomorrow, I believe. Everybody will be out on Wednesday. We have the NFL games and all of that, and you'll figure it out. Friday, I think we're going to be joined by a Commanders player probably early in the show, from what I was told yesterday. So we will see who that turns out to be. We still have Dumb Dumb of the Day and a quick cleanup on aisle three. But first, we go back to the phones and squeeze in one last one. My guy, Alan Lepore, is with us from the heart of Eagles country, but a Commanders guy indeed. What's up, Mr. Lepore?
Not much. How are y'all doing? Merry Christmas, Matt. Merry Christmas, Rooster.
Thank you, pal. A little Happy holidays to you and the fam.
Thank you. Thank you. No, of course I'm going to call in and do a victory lap. My man Frankie Louvu showed up, pointing those ones to the sky. We got to get that going on in the fans. Dude, dude is a pro bowler. Should be an all-pro guy.
Oh, yeah.
But I know we're – and it seems like I missed a lot in the first hour, but same old year with your show. Sabah's going to have to, you know, get that – Taylor's going to have to get that restraining order re-upped on Sabah. The way she keeps talking, it's just absolutely crazy and insane. No, it was a great game yesterday. May have had to sleep on the couch because we won, and I was acting a fool and crazy in the house, scared my son. But, you know, that's what happens when you pull out a victory like that. So, you know, it was great all around. And I know we're all hating. It's going to be a lot that I'm going to cover real quick. We're all hating on Linnell, but real quick story to show him some love that we don't actually hate him. We love him. We do it out of love. One of my first days working with y'all, he decided to bust in the middle of a meeting that I was in and say, "Hey, Alan, I need to talk to you for a second." And I'm like, "Well, no, what's going on? Yeah, I'm doing something." He goes, yeah, but I want to make some money. There's some money I want to make with you. And I'm like, dude, just slow it down. So Linnell, good guy, always looked out for me. But
that,
you know,
does
Linnell,
not surprise me in any way, shape, or form. Does not surprise me in any way, shape, or form. My guy is driven by the greenback and by cash like nobody else. And there, trust me, as you know, there's a lot of people around here that only care about money.
Oh yeah, but of course, in great Linnell fashion, he thinks everybody knows him. Turns around, leaves, and you know, the two people that are in there with me go, "Who was that?
Who is
that? Is that a new salesperson?"
That also does not surprise me.
Well, now we love you. Shout out to all the Commanders fans. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Michelle 980 also didn't do this on Friday, but shout out to Pedro, to Pete, to the Medhurst family. What you're going through. We love you. We got your back. AA. Hard time for a lot of people, but you know, it's a great time to be a Commanders fan, part of this Commanders family. We have each other's back, and much love to y'all, and I miss y'all, and we'll talk soon.
No doubt. My guy, Mr. Lepore, happy holidays to you and the fam. Appreciate you. As always, good dude right there. We miss him on a daily basis here, but very happy that he's doing well out there in probably about 45 minutes, roughly, away from Filthy. So I got to see him for WrestleMania. Did not get to see him for the Thursday night game, but, you know, I think he was here after that when he came to a Nationals game. So there you go. All right, time for a quick cleanup on aisle three before we wrap up the show. By the way, I was told by Anthony Haney that somehow, some way, Craig Hoffman got one-on-one interviews with Terry McLaurin and Jamison Crowder, even though we were told, as is normally the case, anybody going to the podium, that's it. Somehow, you will hear one-on-one interviews with Terry McLaurin and Jamison Crowder on Hoffman's show. I don't know how he did it. Good for him. Hey, man. I don't know. What can I tell you? But you will hear that coming up after 4 o'clock on the Team 980. First, you know what time it is. I hope Matt's okay with it.
Because I didn't really ask.
What we may have missed. What we forgot. What we need to touch on. What we promoted that we didn't get to. And even if it's just a minute or two, a mention.
Clean up in aisle three.
Clean up on aisle three. All right, lost in all the sauce of the Commanders' big come-from-behind win and the Capitals doing their thing yesterday. We told you late last week about the Nationals signing a one-year deal with Mike Soroka. Well, yesterday they swung a trade, did the Nationals, and they acquired Nathaniel Lowe from the Texas Rangers, who started his career with the Tampa Bay Rays. Nathaniel Lowe is coming across in a deal for left-hander Robert Garcia. Now, who is Lowe? Well, again, he's controllable. That's an important thing. 29 years old, has had some injuries, what have you. But he's been available for a little bit, but he was critical for the Texas Rangers over his time there in helping them win a first world championship just a couple years ago in 2023. And not only can he hit with a little bit of power, right? He's got 78 home runs, 104 doubles during his time in Texas over the last 4 years, but also he's a Gold Glover. So he can play first base at a Gold Glove level. And you know what? Didn't really trade him for much, or they didn't have to give up much. I mean, Garcia's okay, and he's a left-hander, which makes him, I guess, a little bit more valuable, but, you know, 4.22 ERA, 75 strikeouts and 59. I mean, again, it's not like they gave him away for nothing, but I like this move for the Nationals. It is a very, 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 very typical Mike Rizzo move. Somebody nobody's talking about, a trade. Yes, you got to give up a piece, but no, you don't have to spend a lot of money. Like I said, he's controllable for the next couple of years, so he's not on just a one-year deal, which doesn't automatically mean he's going to get traded at the deadline. And you help yourself offensively and defensively. Remember we were talking about the guy from Arizona who went to Houston. What's his name now? I just forgot on Friday's show. Who was a pretty good defensive first baseman as well. Cooper? I'm trying to remember now. Can't off the top of my head. But either way, remember we were talking about that on Friday? Well, this was the Nationals' answer, I guess, to not being in on him, to not being in on Paul Goldschmidt, to not wanting to spend $300-plus million on Pete Alonso, the polar bear. And hopefully it works out. I mean, again, offense and defense. Offense and defense is what you're getting in Nathaniel Lowe. And you do have to give up, again, a fairly good arm out of the bullpen from the left side in Garcia to get him. But more importantly, you get your first baseman, and he's going to help you both ways if he can stay healthy. So I think actually a pretty good move for the Washington Nationals. Other baseball moves over the weekend and today. How about this? Walker Buehler today signing with the Boston Red Sox on a one-year $21 million deal. We knew when Blake Snell went from San Francisco to the world champion Dodgers that Walker Buehler was not coming back. Buehler was really good, though, in the postseason. I mean, he was really good, and he closed out the World Series. People forget that. Against the New York Yankees. Again, when healthy, Walker Buehler is one of the best pitchers in baseball. The problem is he's rarely been healthy, but a one-year, $21-ish million gamble for the Red Sox, I kind of like that. gives them an arm if he's healthy to fight with the Yankees and to fight with Baltimore. He's 30 years old. Again, one of the best pitchers just when he's healthy, and he hasn't been healthy. He's getting two Tommy John surgeries and some other stuff. But again, this is the kind of moves, you know, this would, if it wasn't $21 million, this is exactly the type of move that the command, that the Nationals would make. The problem is $21 million. The learners look at $21 million like you and I would look at, you know, a $10,000 tax bill or whatever. Not happening. Not happening in any way, shape, or form. Again, for everybody saying the Nationals don't spend money, that's technically incorrect. What they do is they go to the dollar store, essentially, to buy who they want. And whether it's free agency, as in the case of Soroka, 1 year, $9 million, or whether it's making a trade for Nathaniel Lowe, and who knows what, I think they're going to major in January. I think they'll pick up one or two more pieces in January. Major might be strong, but that's when they're going to strike as the prices come down and lower. So you have that. We told you about Tank Dell. Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs, of course, beat up on the Texans in pull-away fashion at Arrowhead on Saturday. On Christmas Day, which is just 2 days away, they take on the Pittsburgh Steelers. Patrick Mahomes says his ankle's fine, should be in a better place because they haven't really been practicing. They're going to play a third game in 10 and a half days. Mahomes got through the game on Saturday, even had a 15-yard touchdown run and all of that in between. So that's good. Monday Night Football, as we mentioned tonight, coming up, Green Bay and New Orleans. Let's just say it would be a shock if New Orleans can hang in there and give Green Bay any kind of fight. We'll find out together. And one last one, again, the Capitals against the Bruins tonight at 7 o'clock as the Caps look to get the back-to-back sweep. 3 out of 4, going to be a tough task. Charlie Lindgren will be in the pipe. Still no Alex Ovechkin, as you know, back-to-back after beating the LA Kings. You can hear it, 106.7 The Fan, and that's cleanup on aisle 3.
Cleanup on aisle 3.
Coming up next, boys and girls, children of all ages. Hey, have you ever been in a mosh pit at a concert, Jiffy Lube Live or Meriwether Post Pavilion or somebody like that, and not wanted to leave and not able to control what you've been drinking? Well, now we have a solution. Now we have an answer. We'll tell you next. All right, final couple of minutes before the Christmas break. I'll be out Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Back with you on Friday. Maddie will be here tomorrow. Appreciate all of you. Craig Hoffman coming up next again. One-on-one interviews with Jamison Crowder and Terry McLaurin. If you missed Jeremy McNichols and Luke McCaffrey with me, make sure you check out the podcast on the team980.com or on the Team980 on the Odyssey page. On the Odyssey app, I should say. Dan Quinn said no real updates on Marshawn Lattimore, Andrew Wiley. You have to wait until Thursday or Friday. A little bit of a different schedule this week, a late afternoon walkthrough tomorrow, and then Wednesday will be a day off for the players because of the Christmas holiday. So there's the update. And they did release Greg Joseph from the practice squad, the backup place kicker. So there you have that. You know what time it is to wrap up the show and the early part of the week.
Congratulations, you're Chris's. It's time for Dumb Dumb of the Day.
Little bit early on the strike there, Maddie, but that's okay. Matt found this one courtesy of the New York Post. Headline, the perfect, in quotation, $75 diaper allows adult concert goers to pee themselves in a mosh pit. And it's being termed as an innovative new solution. That's right. Liquid Death, an energy beverage company, has gotten together, collaborated with Depend Brand, which is known for, you know, adult incontinence and all that stuff, which hopefully I won't have to deal with anytime soon. But, you know, no. You never know. And they have produced for $75 on the market what's called the Pit Diaper. That's right.
Brian, it's already, yes.
Yeah. Well, in this case, you're going to sit in your ass. $75. It's already sold out. And what they're advertising it is, it's basically a black leather adult diaper, which apparently you can pee yourself, because what they're saying is never leave the safety of the mosh pit for a mid-show bathroom break ever again with the Pit Diaper. That's what the both companies said in a joint statement. Now, you might ask, well, wait a second, how are we doing this thing here? Well, they've got a liner in it that apparently, like an extra liner that goes inside what looks to be like a leatherish type adult diaper, again called the Pit Diaper.
You're just a loser or a jackass. You can be A or B.
It's a one-size-fits-all item. I wonder if they've seen me. With an adjustable hip and waist circumference. And basically, it looks like a heavy metal-type design. It's got a metal key clip, spikes, a chain, a belt, a gold-embroidered skull on the front. And it comes with a pack of 52 Depend Guards, which is what locks in the moisture so that concert-goers don't have to rush to the bathroom from the mosh pit. So basically, for the low, low price of $75, boys and girls, you can sit in your own urine in a mosh pit.
Congratulations, you're Chris's dum-dum of the day.
And when somebody goes to put you up on their shoulders and pass you around the mosh pit.
Oh, that's nasty.
Would you ever wear one of those, Matthew?
No, I have dignity. Just go to the bathroom.
That's what I say, man. I was in the pit for Luke Bryan, but not the whole show, but I was in the pit for Luke Bryan at Jiffy Lube. And certainly it would have been hard to get out of there, but I would have made it. All right, that's going to do it for us. Again, Craig Hoffman up next. Apparently one-on-one conversations with Terry McLaurin and Jamison Crowder. Thank you very much, everyone, for listening, participating in the show live on Rewind, on podcast, what have you. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Be safe. Don't be stupid. Don't drive drunk. Thank you to Matty Ice. Thanks to everybody. Thanks to Jay Gruden, Luke McCaffrey, and Jeremy McNichols. And most importantly, again, thanks to you. Happy holidays. See you on Friday. Enjoy Christmas.